Thank you, Pastor. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. This being the last Sunday of the month, we will have our fellowship luncheon after this service, and all are invited to join in good fellowship and good food. Another note here, there will be a deacon board meeting following the morning worship service. You will note in your bulletin that our 2 p.m. service at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon will be the final activity of the day, and all are invited to attend that service. At our Wednesday evening service, we will gather here for prayer at 7:30, and Pastor Otero will continue teaching on the theology of Bible doctrine. Wednesday's topic will be on the moral character of God. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 22, verses 22, 23, and 25. It reads, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye seed of Israel. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Let us begin our worship now with the singing of hymn number 32, Blessed Be the Name. Let's continue our worship now with hymn number 39, This Is My Father's World, the first and last stanzas.
Thank you.
stand now as we sing hymn number 525, A Christian Home, the first and last stanzas.
To the Lord in prayer this morning together as a congregation. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our intercessor, our Jehovah. And we are grateful that we gather together in the city of Morgan Hill to worship the Lord in his spirit and in truth. We are grateful that we can sing praises to his name. We are grateful that we can read the Holy Scripture and learn from it. And we are grateful that we have a choir that praise the Lord and wants the Lord to be honored. Father, we as a church body have enlarged our membership through the radio ministry of KKMC in Salinas. And we have also the benefit of the internet waves. And as a result of that, hundreds of friends across America and some of them across the world have joined together with us in fellowship. But Father, others also through the tape ministry and the CD ministry have a week later joined with us. And then people in the area north of California, they join with the station KKXX as they listen to the sermon 1 week later. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us a population that we don't know where they are. We thank you, Lord, that we cannot count heads and say that our church is 10,000 members large. So that the pride do not come to us to say we have the largest audience, but rather that we became faithful to your word so that those people around the world and around America can draw again close to the Lord. We have a ministry focused in the Word of God and in the Word of God alone. And I ask you forgiveness, fathers, for the time that I have missed, maybe the interpretation, because I'm a human being. But Father, with jealousy and with tenacity, just as when I was a soccer player, I sit down in my office and with tears in my eyes sometimes, I look into the scripture and I see the truth of your word that touches my heart. I see my imperfections. I see my errors. And Lord, I quickly cry in prayer to you for the renewal of my heart and life. And I want to convey that to your people, because your holy scriptures are a book of instruction also. We are not free in this world to live as we want to if we call ourselves Christians. We are here in this world as individuals and as society to live the Christian life in a manner that is taught in the scripture. And I pray, Lord, that today's sermon will be once again another illustration in how you want us to represent Christ Jesus and his holy church. Father, help us, all of us, to be a reflector of his glory and to be also an example of the unity of Christ and his church. We pray today for one of our missionaries in Spain very soon, in Sevilla, for the family of Carl and Ruth Enot. They started in Huasca, Spain, in the mountains. And Lord, they have done a great work for 16 years. And many churches were founded. And now they go into Sevilla, the capital of religion, but not the capital of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that with kindness, with gentleness, with patience, and a great love for the Spanish people, he will do the work again, showing the people in Spain that Jesus loves them, and that there is a greater and mighty relationship when a man or a woman believe in a personal manner in Jesus, our Lord. Father, we pray for those who cannot be here because they are sick. And we remember one of our favorites, Loretta Forrest. And we pray that your grace cover her life. And she smiles all the time when we talk to her, even though she is very ill. Father, encourage her. Father, we pray for Judy Plica. You have done a miracle in the surgery, and it's beautiful to see the recovery. And Father, I pray for myself that when the full report comes from the surgeons concerning this complicated surgery ahead, I ask, Father, for the options. And they said they're going to write it. I have not received it yet. I gave them a homework. And Father, I want to be sure that what needs to take place in my life is necessary. And you, oh Father, give me and Raquel extreme wisdom in knowing exactly what to do. I thank you, Lord, that you are there. I thank you that one of the doctors, our beloved John Wesley, he is a believer. And he told me, go in peace. There is no danger whatsoever. I'm going to give you four options. I thank you, Lord, that this doctor is not looking for the money, is looking for the best of his patient. What an example of Christianity today. Lord, we have people who are visitors, and we pray your blessings upon their life. And we have visitors on the internet, perhaps, and visitors on the radio, and we pray for those who are in home and who are continually listening to us, people that cannot go to church because of their illness, and they listen to us. Oh, God, bless their life, touch their life, encourage their life. May their life be different because they have been touched by Jesus. And Lord, we're going to have a deacon board today to consider many, many mighty things for the church so we project the coming year. And we pray that the mind of Christ be in each one of the deacons and in the pastor, and that the will of God be done in such a way that the unity of the church be seen always as you want to. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our provider. Constantly for 20 years, you started this church, Lord, and you provided for this church. And in times so difficult like today, still you're providing for the church. And I'm looking, Father, for all of those men who are without work, that somewhere, somehow, you will direct them to the place where there is a work. Because you said in your word, I never saw my children asking for bread. And so we believe your promise. And you command us to work. So leave these men who are seeking for a job to find it. And when they find it, help them to say, thank you, God, for what you have done in my life. Now bless the offering, bless the giver,
Bless the moments that follow, because we pray again in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 22, through chapter 6, verse 4. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 690. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through chapter 6, verse 4. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that though we have nothing to commend ourselves to you, you nevertheless have been gracious and merciful to us through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we can rely on your word, rely on the Bible, and have confidence that it is true and without error, as the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit have declared. We thank you for true doctrine and also the practical application of it. Enable us, we pray, by the Spirit's power, that we may understand and apply the very important scripture on the Christian family from which Pastor Otero will be teaching today. We pray for your servant, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to expose your word, that you would bless his preaching and bless all who hear, that this teaching would penetrate our minds and hearts. Protect us, Father, from the vain philosophies of this mindless age. We pray for those here and those listening on the radio and internet who have not put their trust in Christ, that you would bring them to a knowledge of the truth and they would believe on him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And for those who are new, perhaps, and those who are listening, we keep on saying, if you need a Bible, we use a very practical Bible. It's in the pew, and will be not too much necessary today, but I mentioned the page number so that you quickly can go to the reference. I want you to see it with your own eye. That is the Word of God. And many times I use the page number reference, the reference, the number. As I received some letters, I said, what Bible? Just a simple pew Bible, and if you do not have it, I can send it to you. The disadvantage in English is that when I was in radio in Spanish, all the Spanish people have different Bible, different size, but the page is always the same, and it's a very easy to say on radio. Now page 20, and I know that everybody having Spanish Bible are in the same position. Now, on the month of October, the series two sermons are on Christianity. I thought they'd be out of service for a while because of the surgery. The surgery was postponed, and I'm able to schedule the whole full month of November and December, but on October, this subject was on Christianity. And as you remember, before Daniel came, our first sermon dealt with a Christian walk. And we went into the book of Joshua and examined the book of Joshua, what God requires of him. Now, our second sermon on Christianity deals with the Christian family. And I'm very sure that all of you have heard sermons on the Christian family. That all of you have read a book on the Christian family. And all of you have different opinions on the Christian family. So I expect that you're going to make a choice today. Whatever you want to know, you're going to make a choice. You're going to agree with what the scripture says. That's one choice. You're going to say the pastor is outdated. He's old. And he's not talking to the 21st century. And by the way, on January, I got courage to speak to you on the four issues that we face on the 21st century. But on today, some of you will say, well, that's the instruction that we had before, and I disagree with what you said. And some of you will say, I care less about the Bible. These are choices that you make, you know. I care less about the Bible. I don't care about what the Bible says. And you are entitled to your choice. Now, remember that a choice gives you direction, and direction gives you destiny. Remember those three things that we teach in psychology. A choice will make you direction. The direction will give you destiny. So be very careful with your choice. Now, God instituted the Christian family. If you open your Bible in the book of Genesis, it's the first book, in chapter 2, and in verse 24, the Christian family is not a Hebrew idea because it was instituted way before Abraham. The Christian family is not an American idea, because was instituted before America was discovered. Here it is, in Genesis 2:24, God proceeded to do the first wedding ceremony, and here is the instruction of God for the wedding ceremony. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. That was the instruction of God for the fair wedding ceremony. So in today's society, where people go to a mirror and they don't know if they are a man or a girl, I want to tell you that in the wedding ceremony, God said, a man leave his father and mother, and God knows how man is attached to mama. And some of you maybe are. I was my mama boy. And I had to leave my country in order to really save my marriage. Because my mother was Italian, and she was strong. And when I married, she said, I don't care you marry. Every day you come for lunch right here. Here's your table. And here's your chair. And your chair will be empty, she said. Oh, she cannot look, cry, mama. Until a neighbor find out that I draw my Jeep to my mother's home every lunch hour, and told Raquel, how nice to see Gabriel every day. Ooh, boy. And violation of this, is that right? Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. So the Christian marriage developed, and eventually children are integral part of the family. If you go to Genesis chapter 4 now, and verse 1, you have a man and a woman, and when that marriage develops, children become part of the family. In Genesis chapter 4, and in verse 1, the Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. To know in Hebrew is a deep thought of penetration. And that means Adam had an intimate relationship with his wife Eve. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So in a family, in a Christian family, the Bible teaches that is made of a man, a woman, and eventually God grant to them children. Now, not only the Bible tell us how the family came about, but also the Bible tell us how the family should function in society. Now, when dealing with wives and husbands and children, we must always remember that God's instructions are not grievous. In fact, they are easy and light. Turn your Bible to Matthew, please, for a moment, in chapter 11, page 568, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30. You will see that God's instructions are no grievous for the believer, all right? Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 11 and in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in the heart, and ye shall find rest upon your souls, for my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is light. So husbands, when I got to your section and the explanation, it's easy. We find ourselves short. Sure. I find myself short after 43 years of marriage, almost. But God says that his instructions are no heavy. For the believer, okay? If you're a believer in Christ. If you're not a believer in Christ, this makes no sense to you. Now, let me tell you, if we walk down the path God has laid for us, if we do just what he says, we will experience the most successful, peaceful, and fullest life that you can imagine. If you and I can follow God's instruction right to the line, your life and my life will be the most gorgeous and successful life and the most glorious life that you and I have no idea. So let's find out God's instruction for marriage. They are in two chapters, one in Ephesians and the other in Colossians. I know Ephesians well, so I'm going to go over Ephesians. I'm going to talk about this, going back to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, page 690. I'm going to talk about the duties of the wife. That word sounds a little tough. I'm trying to look for a soft word, but the scope of the work of the wife. And then the duties of the husband and the duties of the children. So the scope of the work of the wife, the scope of the work of the husbands, and the scope of the work of the children, all right? And then I'm going to get a verse in the Bible and put it all together, and we go home asking God, the believers, of course, asking God to give us wisdom and to give us strength and to give us the willingness to do it his way, because it's much better than our way. The duties of the wives, and all the men are happy here in the auditorium. Verse 22 is submission. Is it wives? Submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. Submission, the word submission, describes the way a wife works her life with a husband. And people try to look upon the word submission. What that means? Means what it said. Submission. It comes from a verb that makes no sense to you. If I mention to you, hupotasso. H-U-P. O-T-S-O, hupotasso. What that mean? Means you work under somebody else. You are in a work condition. You are way on the top, but you are under somebody else. Always. I worked 29 years like that. I worked way bottom, and I made my way to work the last 15 years of my life way on the top. Way on the top, but under somebody else. And as you really need to know how to work that. All right, because you are being trashed tremendously. When this person who is on the top is not there, you are in the. And I don't like to make decisions. And at that time, I had to say, sign this check and do this and the other. I tell you, I'm relieved from that. But a wife works on submission. She works with a husband with a spirit of submission. She dialogue with the husband. She no argue with her. Never argue with her husband. Dialogue with the husband. Always expecting an answer from the husband.
She can challenge the husband. If he does something, she can do. She can say, really? You're going to do that? And with what money? She can do that, you know? That's very proper. That's not being rebellious. That's being helping the husband to make decisions, all right? I take it in a good way. So that's kind of submission. Then verse 23 talks about subjection and describes God's order for the family. For the husband is the kephale. No, in Greek, when you say kephale, you refer to God. It comes from the Hebrew, kephat, means head. In America, in American society, kephale is a CEO, chief executive officer. Woo, I get in trouble. Look at here. For the husband is the chief executive officer of the wife, as also Christ is the chief executive officer of the church, and he's the savior of the body. So she is in subjection to the husband, and the husband is acting as the chief. And what a chief does in a company, he always is on the alert so that the company be always on the top. A chief executive office is always having meeting to get ideas so that the company is always right on. All right? And better is the company, better is him as a head. So, man, do you get the idea? And lady, you get the idea? More you help your husband in subjection, but more you help your husband, better your husband looks. No wonder. Remember Proverbs 31 and in verse 10, they said that he walks on the gates of Jerusalem. Now the Jew built a wall around Palestine and leave a gate, exactly as the Bible describes it will be. And Palestine is excited. The gate is the place of business where there's a table. Okay, you come in so much. And so the Bible said that he is proud because he has a great wife, a precious wife. And so the wife is in submission. She dialogue with the husband. She is in subjection, always helping him to produce things. And then in verse 24, the Bible said that the wife, the duties of the wife is not only submission, subjection, but it's also service. Look at verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband and everything. See, verse 24 describes this scope in everything. Is that right? Look at that. Look at that verse. See? It's very clear. So let the wives be to their own husband in everything. But look at that, at the beginning of the verse. So as the church is subject to Christ. We have a deacon board in our church, other churches have a board of elders. And they need to make decisions. But no one of these decisions can be against the teachings of Christ. I don't care how big is the board. I care less how big is the church. The church is never bigger than Christ. And if a decision is going to be made, then need to be checked with the scripture if that is possible. If that is possible, then things can be done. And that's why churches, one church do this and the other church do the other, to everyone their own gift. But don't do something that is against Christ. Because Christ is the head. And every deacon, every pastor, everybody who works in the church is subject to Christ. And so is in the marriage relationship. So the wife is very simple. The duties of the wife is submission. She dialogues, subjection, she moves very smoothly, and she knows that there is a CEO in the company that she works, her home, all right? I remember my mother, when we all went to my mother to do, my mother was tougher than my daddy, and she would say, no, before you open your mouth. So we won the meeting. Mama said, well, and tonight, and we meet very formally. We have to dress like this on the table, and tablecloths were placed, everything. My father will bring businessmen and home. These were the times where you had no restaurants to go, and the meal was served and so on. And we said, we asked daddy. He said, no, when the men are here, you let everybody wait. Then we asked our daddy something. And my mother was looking to my daddy like this, that the answer was no. And my daddy looks at he wanted to say yes. And he looked at my mother and he said, just a minute, please. And he will go out and go with my mother and talk, and he will come and smile and say, well, we tackled the question another day. We knew it was wrong. It was no. I never saw them argue about a decision. Now, what's the catch in this? What's the catch? Submission, subjection, and service. If I preach this too often, people will think I'm teaching Taliban-style life. But it's not right. No, that's not. The catch is this. The submission that the wives are to show to their husbands is as in a spiritual mystery comparable to Christ and the church and the believers. See, Christ is not present here, but he's present in each one of our hearts. In the verse 24 said, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ. You know, ladies, you can preach without opening your mouth by living the style of life that God requires if you are married. If you live under the boundaries and the scope that God has placed for you, you are preaching the gospel. You are preaching that Christ Jesus and the church are one. That's very important. That's absolutely important. Absolutely important. You are a living gospel when you live your life just as God said. Now to the husband. The scope, the duties of the husband. Verses 25 to 33. Little more things to the husband. Number one will be practical love. Practical love. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wife. And everybody knows the word agapao is a verb. Agape is a noun. And agapao is God's love, right? So husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Practical love. You love your wife without expecting return. Wow. That's hard. I mean, that's really hard. That's really hard. See, you love your wife without thinking in yourself. Is that really hard? It's hard. See, if you love like that, there will never exist divorce. I never have a lady in my office or in the radio for 29 years saying, I'm going to divorce my husband because he loved me. I never have one like that. You know, God really gave instruction, don't we? God really give us clues that no man and no psychologist and no psychiatrist can improve. You say, if you love your wife, whether she cooked right enchiladas or not, you love your wife. Period. Practical love. Now, verse 26 and 27 is a picture love. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she should be holy and without blemish. This is talking about the church, but it's a picture of the wife. Look at verse 26. That he, God, might sanctify. You know what the word sanctify, agiaso, means? You hear that word, agiaso, agiaso, whatever you want to pronounce it. That word means to set apart. In Romans, you study Romans, Paul said in chapter 1, verse 7, to the saints who are in Rome. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, to the saints, agiaso again, to the ones who have been separated by God. And what the Bible is commending the man and asking the man to do is to take the picture of his wife and separate it for him alone. There is no another girl better than his wife. There is nobody good looking like his wife. There is nobody so kind, so gentle. My wife, everywhere I go, I have a picture of my wife, a picture of love. I have my wife. Wow. This is tough. You know how I know it's tough? When Peter heard that, you remember what he said? when you read in your home Matthew 19 and verse 12, when Jesus taught this, Peter said, wait a minute, this is too hard to do. Peter, who loved his wife. So here it is, picture love. Now personal love at verse 28 and 29. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loved his wife loved himself. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes just as the Lord does the church. Personal love. Wise love is equal to your personal love. And God uses two words to describe it. He said that we should nourish our body. How do we nourish our body? We are selective in food. We men like certain kinds of food. And when we have an escape, we just take it. And we like clothing. And we like a suit in this way, or a shirt in this way, or a sweater in this way. And we are careful to wear what we like it. All right? And if you don't know how to choose it, you ask your wife and she chooses it for you. But I tell you, we like to clothe and we like to feed and we like to provide our body. I do exercise to avoid a stroke because of my arrhythmia of the heart and so on. And everybody takes care of themselves. And that's the way you take care of your wife. And then he says you cherish your wife. You notice that? It's amazing. The Lord described here in verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes his wife. And so cherishes, you mean you deal with tenderness. You deal with sweetness. You are very delicate in the way you treat it. Wow. Wow. You never answer back wrong. You're never mad. Oh, this God wants perfection, don't we? Man, that we are short. Now there is a catch. And it's in verse 30 and verse 31. For we are a member of his body, the church. See, we are partners with God. See that? Members of his body. Of his flesh and of his bones. We are one with Christ. And so your wife is one with you. If you hate you, you hate your wife. And then verse 31 repeats Genesis 2:24. Remember that we start with that? For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So here is the catch. We are partners in life just as the church is partner with Christ. Some people teach us that you can lose your salvation. I mean, Christ can go away from you. Never. Because look at what they said. We just flesh and bone and spirit, you just one with Christ. And then the Bible says, if we men love our wife in that way, somebody may sometime ask you why you have so much love. And you said, because I'm one with her. If I hate her or I do something wrong to her, I do something wrong to myself as we deal with Christ and the church. Tremendous. Now, the duties are so high that no book of psychology or any book of psychiatry can match. They will take these words and dilute it and trying to make it a different thing. But these words means exactly what these words said. Now, wait for the children. The duty of the children. Chapter 6. Let's go to chapter 6. The duty of the children. The first duty of a child born in the family, living in the family, is verse 1. Respect. Listen in order to comply. Look at verse 1. Children, apokuo. Children, obey your partners. Actually, the word obey is not there. It's the word to listen. Now, how many of you have been in the Navy or in the Army? All right. And when you were marching, and the sergeant said, conversion, right, 1, 2. You said, right? No, I do left. That's the last time you do it. Listen carefully. And sometimes my sergeant was way on the field, and we hardly can hear it. And man, everybody was saying, what did he want? What did he, and if you are first on the line, I said, what did he want now? And, you know, and you have to double foot, and then wait, and it's a little trick to make the turn. And I tell you, you were with ears. You said, what did he want now? What did he want now? You know, and like this. We listen, not with a perspective to argue. We listen with the idea to comply to whatever has been said. That's respect. The King James translated, obey. Obey. Children, listen to your parents with the idea to follow. In the Lord, for this is right. Now, God say that, children. Young people, God say that. Listen in order to comply. Here's your limitation in life. You can go all the way through, but when you're in home and mama or papa talks, you listen because you're going to do what papa and mama said. You cannot argue. I told you I have an Italian mother, and when she talks, I'm a master in talking. My brother was more smooth, he quiet. But I'm talking. My mother will talk. I listen carefully to find a flaw in what she said. And rather than finding a smooth argument, I found her face, her hand go zoom into my face. And I turn around like this, and I knew I had to shut up. Today will be illegal, but that's the way it is. She said, when I talk, you obey. Boy, they serve me to work. I worked for 29 years with a man, you never know what they're going to do. But when he talks, I obey. So I wait you in Chicago. Yes, sir. Where? I don't know. So when I arrived to Chicago, so I went with the car around, and I found it. Oh, here it is. I don't question. He's the boss. Children, there is no greater joy in your life than respect your parents, whether you think they're right or wrong. This is what God said. Number two, verse two, you remember your parents. Honor your father and mother. That word honor is used in the Bible as a word of remembrance. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 9 said, honor the Lord with the substance of your possessions. See, you remember God and you do something for God. And so you remember your parents. That's a real extraordinary copy of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And then in verse 3, you have the reward that it may be well with thee, and you may live long earth. Two rewards. Number one, God's care. That it may be well with thee. Young people, do you really want to be successful when you grow up and have a successful life? You obey your parents today. Because if you obey your parents today, it will be well with you. Now, I don't say it, God say it. Let me put it different. I don't say it. Mighty God say it. If you obey your parents, this mighty God who has, according to 2 Chronicles 16:9, his eyes around the world to see what you need. Have you ever read that? God has his eyes around the world to see how he can help his people. Woo-hoo! The Bible is tremendous. But there are certain conditions. And the condition here is very important. There is a reward for those who said, I'm going to honor my father and mother. And the first reward is that your life is going to be well. You know, people buy insurance, they buy stocks, and they buy all kinds of things so that when they get older, they'll be well. I tell you, it says obey God, and when you get older, it will be well. Finally, there is a relationship in verse 4. And it's going to talk to us parents. And you fathers, and parents should be the word, do not exaggerate your children. Do not provoke your children. Do not, challenge your children to wrath. But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. There are two things we parents have to do. Number one, training. What is training? It's different than teaching, is that right? Teaching, I sit in a classroom, And I said, this is what it is. This is what I'm doing now. Teaching. Very easy. You memorize 300 pages. You memorize this and the other. And you talk. You don't finish. Everybody got the facts. Training is different. You show them what you do. Let me tell you the training that I get corrected when my granddaughters were here. I'm driving the car. Jacqueline is the maximum expression of the law. She sits in the back, quiet. She looks in the middle, and I go 55, 65, 75, 85, 90. Is that the speed permitted in this highway? I said, oh, what could be? He said, well, let's find the next sign. Okay, we find the next sign. 65, you were in violation of the law. And almost he wanted to turn me to the police. I was not training her, all right? I feel bad. Train, that's what training is. My uncle used to say, oh, smoking is very bad. And he was smoking. Training. Training demands consistency of life. If you're going to say something to your children, be sure it's in your life right on. I have to apologize, Jacqueline, when I stop for doing that. Training. And then they said admonition. You know, admonition is a very tough word. Counsel will be a better word. Exhortation will be a better word. You counsel your children with the word of God. You see son, you see daughter. This is the way I do my life because, and anything. We train our daughter in that way. We say, you know, Papa got a check. Now we're going to cut 10% of this check and we're going to write a check to the church. This is the way we do it. And so when she get married, this is the way they do it. And God's going to support them. And now my granddaughters are doing the same. And Jacqueline is find ways of working. She sell this, do the other. And she said, I was able to pay $25 to the church this week from my income. So I knew she made $250 profit. She sold about $400 of products. See, it's you counsel them and you teach them. You train them and you counsel them. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. I say at the beginning, you make a choice. You say, oh, this is Taliban instruction. No more in the 21st century. You maybe said, doesn't work for me and my wife. Or you maybe said, no, Pastor, I don't believe in the Bible. I care less what you said. But these are your choices. Let me give you a verse as I close. They take all of these and a compound and makes us believers jump to the ceiling. Move your Bible to James 1:25, page 711. Page 711, James 1 and verse 25. And listen carefully as I read it, and it will make you so happy that you want to obey this. James 1 and verse 25, page 711. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Woo! Did you got it? Bless. God is talking. And God said, if you become a doer of the word, a doer of the instructions in any area of your life, and today we're talking about the Christian family. If you become a doer in your life, you're going to be blessed. Your children are going to follow the Lord. They're going to have food every day of their life. Whether they're engineers or garbage collector here in California, $68,000 a year, that's okay. I tell you, the Bible said, God, mighty God said, if you just do what I said, you're going to be blessed. Again, you have a choice. You believe God's promise. You think this is crazy. You think this, a man wrote it, like somebody told me. A man wrote it. Here's a man wrote it. Who told him to write it? Yeah. I tell you, may God bless you. And when I say God bless you, it means may God give you the heart to say, God, like I did at my desk, I see my shortcomings and I only have one answer, I want to cry. And I cry and I went up and I said, thank you, Father, that you're once again reviving me the idea of how to treat Raquel now that the two are alone. And then you do that in your life, in your private life, in the privacy of your own heart. You say, God, again, thank you for the teaching. Give me the strength to do it. The strength to do it. Pastor Farwell today, as he closed his sermon, he said he was asked a question in 60 minutes. What was the secret of his life? He said, I pray every day, God, give me strength to do it. And I thought that was a great and wise thought. May God give you and me the courage to pray. God, give me strength to do your will, and I will honor you. Father, thank you. Thank you that today we have received your instructions on Christian family. Thank you, Lord, that these instructions are not just there in the book for an illustration. These are instructions that relate to us believers in Christ Jesus. I pray that you revive our heart to bring in man a love for the wife and in wife a respect for the man. And then in the children to be in awe and admiration of their parents by listening to them, follow their instructions, and honor them all the days of their life. Lord, when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
When God is near, with light my path is glowing. The cup of life with gladness overflows. And in the garden of my heart is growing the flower of love more fragrant than the sweetest rose. When God is near, so near I hear him speak to me. My every need his boundless grace supplies. When God is near, my heart is filled with is joint heir with Christ, His mercies reassure me. And someday I shall dwell with Him in realms divine. When God is near, so near I hear Him speak to me. My every need His boundless grace supplies. When God is near,
please, for prayer. We have the fellowship luncheon. I request the deacons this time. I don't want to be irreverent, but they should be first. We have to meet with them, right? As we eat, we're going to meet, making time. And you're invited, if you're a guest, to stay. It's all pay. The ladies have cooked beautifully so that we enjoy a moment of fellowship together. Father, we are precious in your sight. And one of the things that reminds me of this sermon is that you give us mercy and grace. And so, Father, when we feel short from you, that's what you want us to know, that we need to struggle in our life to get to the mark of obeying your word. And then, Father, when we do so, and sometimes when we fail, your mercy overrules our life, and your grace to give us another opportunity to obey comes along. Thank you, Father. Thank you for treating us as children of the living God. Thank you for Jesus, who loved his church so much. And Father, help us as a church never to get ahead of Christ, but to do the work under his wing. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to say, thank you, Father, for saving our soul. Amen.